yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to tell you that everything you see in the natural came out of the supernatural. And the unseen controls the natural. So there are things behind the scenes that are responsible for things we see in the natural that we have no idea of. For instance, most times when you watch artists performing on the stage, you must understand that they are not in control of what they are doing. There are directors behind the stage who are in control and directing what they are doing before the audience. Movies have directors behind it. When you see musicians singing great, there are directors behind the scenes responsible for the voice training, the skills, and the performance, and everything you see. So most things we see are not real, because the real thing that controls what you see is what you don't see. Is anybody hearing me? The other day, in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, reading from the 23rd verse, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And on his way, something strange happened. Peter had just received revelation from heaven and concluded that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Christo, the anointed one. He received revelation. And Jesus said, because you receive revelation, two things will happen to you. Your identity will be changed. You will no more be Simon, but you become Peter, a rock, stability. Stability comes into your life when you have revelation. Because revelation is advanced knowledge. Revelation helps you to know the outcome of events as it relates to a bigger picture. Are you hearing me, somebody? One of the reasons why Jesus was sleeping in the boat when there was storm was because he had advanced knowledge. He knew the outcome, that he will arrive safely at the other side of the shore. So when people were panicking, he was sleeping. When you know what others don't know, are you hearing me, somebody? You have advantage over others. Say yes. So Peter had just had a revelation of who Jesus was. And then the devil said, well, if God can use him, I can use him too. Just after God used Peter, the devil also set in to use the same vessel. And Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And Satan began to rebuke him. He began to vex him. He began to agitate Jesus. And it got to a point that Jesus turned around to rebuke Peter, and something happened. Jesus turns around to rebuke Peter, and what did he see? Satan. So the Bible said, Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. And Satan left Peter alone. Are you hearing me, somebody? So most times when you see people working out of character, acting out of character, doing things that don't make sense, doing things that are not like them, you got to stop dealing with people and go behind the scenes to find out who is working them. Who is behind it? Hear me. I'm giving you some keys that will help you to walk in 100% victory. Let's get to work now. Turn your Bibles, if you please. Say, I please. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, reading from the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Folks, don't be strong in yourself, but in him. Don't try to be strong in yourself. For the Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. And it is not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, said the Lord. So get strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not yours, but in his might. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God, that he might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah.
For we wrestle not.
For we wrestle not
against flesh and blood,
but
against principalities,
against
powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
You see, you need to get this book, Binding the Strong Man, because in this book, it shows you the job description of these cosmic powers. We also call them persons without bodies. Say, persons without bodies. These are high-ranking satanic officers. These are princes of darkness operating through human bodies because they don't have a body. So they need your body. They need your mind. They need your emotions. They need your voice. They need your body to work through you in order to get to another human being. And remember what I said, that it is illegal for spirits to operate among humanity. Even God himself, though he's sovereign and can do anything, God himself cannot function among humanity without a human body. God needs a body in order for him to operate among men. Angels are not allowed here. The angels have no jurisdiction here on earth, and they have no judicial rights to operate here on earth among men without the involvement of another human being, because the earth God gave to man. Are you hearing me, somebody? God gave the earth to Adam and the seed of Adam, and anyone that did not come through Adam is not allowed here on earth. One of the reasons why the flood in the days of Noah had to destroy the entire earth, ladies and gentlemen, was because there were certain illegal human beings on the earth. The Bible said that the sons of God, who were angels, slept with the daughters of men. And out of that affair came giants who were not full human beings. They were half spirit and half bodies. And these were giants, according to scripture, that they were so wicked at heart that they began to contaminate the entire human race, the seed of Adam. And God said, I need to wipe them out because they have no legitimate right to dwell on the earth because they did not come out of the seed of Adam. And so God destroyed the entire then world with a flood. Now watch this. The Bible said that God by his own hand shut the door of the ark because these men were strong. They were mighty. Now, none of Noah's sons, including Noah himself, could handle them. So God said, I'll take care of business. You get in the ark. And I'll make sure that none of them survive the flood to reproduce themselves in the next world. So God shut the door of the ark by his hand and made sure every one of these giants died, that in the next world, they could not reproduce after their own kind again. And the reason why they had to die was because they did not come through the seed of Adam. It's only the seed of Adam giving the legitimate right to operate on this earth. Number two, watch this. The legal entry to the planet is the womb of a woman. You can't come to earth without the womb of a woman. That's why Jesus himself, God, had to wrap himself in the womb of Mary, a virgin, to come to the planet. Your sanctification determines what God can put inside of you to give birth to. Your level of sanctification and purity is what determines your level of unction and anointing. Are you hearing me, somebody? The level of power and anointing you can be entrusted with is determined by your sanctification and personal purity relationship with God. See, I hear you. The Bible said, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the sins of the world upon them. Now, he needed the body of Christ in order for him to operate on earth to help humanity. Now, the body of Christ could only come to the earth through the womb of a woman. So, spirits are not allowed to operate here in the earth realm. Now, one of the reasons why when Jacob wrestled with the angel, he could overpower the angel and prevail, it wasn't because he was a super being. He was dealing with a celestial being, but because it was within his jurisdiction and he had judicial rights, he prevailed against the angel because the angel was operating outside his jurisdiction. So that gave man advantage over a celestial being. So when it comes to the earth realm here, spirits are not allowed to function here. They cannot function without the permission and cooperation of human beings. So watch this. These principalities are cosmic powers who have their dwelling in the heavenlies. Powers have their job description. Principalities are princes. For instance, in Colossians, the Bible says that there are principalities. Then the Bible talks about dominion. Then the Bible talks about thrones. Then the Bible talks about powers. Now, whenever you see the word principality, what it means is a prince. Then wherever you see a throne, it means the seat or the office of the prince. And where you see dominion is referring to a domain, a geographic location, a territory of the prince. The domain or the region or the scope of influence of the prince. Then he talks about power, ability to execute and to carry out the goal, the vision, the desire of the prince of that particular domain. And so there are princes and there are territorial rulers. And spirits are territorial. For instance, when Jesus cast out the unclean spirit from the man of the Gadarenes, he dealt with legions, which means 6,000 demons. Whenever the Bible talks about legions, you're referring to 3,000 footmen and 3,000 horsemen. So that comes to 6,000. And 6,000 demons were living within this individual. Now watch this. When the spirits came out of the man, they pleaded with Jesus and said, Jesus, please send us not out of this region. We want to remain here. And the reason was because they've dwelled among those people, and demons don't know your mind. They study you. They can't tell what is on your mind. They have to study you and learn your ways to be able to predict you. And the demons have lived in this particular region for so long that they were used to the people, and the very attitude or the characteristics of these particular people who dwell in this particular region was as a result of the spirit that controlled that particular region. They carried, they demonstrated, and they exhibited the very personality of the spirit that prevailed in that particular region. And the responsibility of the spirit that prevailed in that particular region is to protect Satan's interest in that region. You got to understand this. When the devil took Jesus to a high mountain, he said to him, if you will bow, and the word bow means if you compromise. And so the devil said to Jesus, I want you to bow, means compromise your conviction and your vision, and the glory and the riches which you see, I will give unto you, for it was delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, who delivered it to Satan? Not God, but the governor of the earth, Adam. Now, watch this. Even though Jesus have come, defeated Satan, have restored the first dominion, Satan still has legal rights and judicial authority to operate on the earth realm as the God of the world. The reason why he has legal rights to operate on the earth as the God of the world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, is because Adam's lease on the planet has not yet expired. So he still has legal rights to operate as the God of the world according to Adam's lease. Now, let me demonstrate that to you. Now, he lives in her house. She owns the house. She's the landlord. He's the tenant. He refuses to pay his rent. And she talks to him, does everything, he won't pay. So they bring the case to the court. I'm the judge. I rule in her favor. I give this man 3 months to vacate her property. By law, the house is hers. She's won the case by law. This man has 3 months to vacate her property. Within that 3 months, he can mess with the carpet, mess with the electricals, do everything in that building. There is nothing she can do about it until the 3 months is over. Do you know that? That's the law. There's nothing she can do until the 3 months is over. What am I saying here? Jesus, on the cross, judged Satan And now we have the first dominion. But Satan still have the legal right to operate on Adam's lease until Adam's lease is over. And the only thing that checks him is the prayers of the saints. So when we don't pray, Satan has the legal right and freedom to do as he pleases. Now the intercessors are the law enforcement agents of God. So when we don't pray, Satan is free to do as he pleases. But whenever we lift up intercession, are you hearing me, somebody? Satan has to go into hiding, because by intercession we can enforce the will of God and enforce the law of God over the enemy. So when folks don't pray, communities, families, and cities are in trouble. Let me tell you something. There are folks in their grave right now dead who should have been alive. You know why they are dead? They died because the church didn't intercede. I'm not talking about praying. You can pray and not intercede. Because prayer has to do with you. But intercession goes beyond the individual. You see, intercession is when you take a stand before God. Not for yourself, but for others. For the church, for your community, for your city, for your nation. When you stand before God and you take personal responsibility of the pain of others, of the problems of others, of the sickness of others, of the difficulties of others, of the frustrations of others, and you stand between God and man, you stand between God and the land, you stand between God and the community, and you command whatever it is behind the drug addiction and violence in your community, whatever it is that is responsible for the violence and the drug trafficking in your community, you can take authority and put down your feet and break the power behind the scenes. Is anybody hearing me? I fasted for 20 years and prayed for my nation, Ghana, because the enemy had an agenda to turn Ghana into an Islamic nation. And the enemy had a president in Africa with so much money, who gave so much money to my country and had so much influence over Ghana in those days. And he had a goal that by the year 2000, Ghana will become an Islamic nation. And I said, that can't happen. So I proclaimed a fast and an early morning prayer meeting every morning, 5 to 7, for years. And the Holy Ghost said to me, if you take this thing up, the Prince of Ghana will come after you. And I said, I'm ready. And I have to take divine insurance policy over my life in the blood of Jesus. I have to ensure my life by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm telling you, the enemy began to use other preachers and went to high places to lie on me. And instructions was given in those days that I was the spy for the American country. And it wasn't true. And I was picked up. And for 2 years, I was under investigation. And all my movement was reported to national security for 2 years. And there was security station in my house. When I came out, they followed my car. They tapped my phone. Anybody who was my friend was scared and didn't want to deal with me, because we were dealing with a revolution government. And for years, for 2 years, my life was threatened. And everybody said, leave town, they'll kill you. And I said, I'm not leaving town. I am not dying today, and I am not dying tomorrow. I refuse to be killed, and I refuse to die. The devil is not going to drive me out of town. Somebody is going to leave town and not me. Are you hearing me, somebody? And for 2 years, you talk about being investigated by the IRS and everything you can think of, brought me before tribunal, everything to jail me, tried everything, character assassination, stigmatization, preachers wouldn't invite me, nobody wouldn't deal with me in town. Everybody was afraid for their lives. And nobody would tell me why I was being investigated. But I knew why. Because there was somebody behind the scenes who didn't want me to pray. And you know why folks don't like praying? Because sometimes when you really begin to pray and you begin to get deep in prayer, you begin to get into the devil's business. Are you hearing me, somebody? And he will open fire, try everything to stop you from praying. But if you don't stop praying and you keep on praying, he will leave you alone. And you talk about intimidation, threatening, and fear. On a Tuesday night, we were praying, and the Holy Ghost said, on Wednesday, 8:30 p.m., they will come for you, and if you go with them, you'll be killed. And we were having service like this. We were in a revival. And at 8:30, the ushers said to me that there are security guys out here. They want to see you. I said, bring them into the auditorium. So they came in. And I went close and I said, what can I do for you? They said, we are here to pick you up. I said, at 8 p.m. in the night, for what? They said, we can't tell you. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve, I resist the arrest. The guy said, what did you say? I said, just what you heard. I resist the arrest. He said, this is not a democratic government. This is not a constitutional rule. This is revolution. And you know what you're dealing with. I said, I resist the arrest. And then the other guy brought up his gun. And I said, before you try anything foolish, you were told to pick me up and kill me tonight. And I am not dying tonight or tomorrow. As soon as I said that, they began to look at one another. They didn't believe I had the information. That was what settled the matter. After a long time of arguing among themselves, they said, okay, report tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. I said, I'll be there. That night, we went into prayer. And the Lord said, when you go in the morning, when you sit before the panel, before they begin taking you through interrogation, request to pray. So when I went, just before they began, I said, sir, can I pray? They looked at one another, and the big guy said, go ahead. So I began to pray, and I began to invoke Psalm 109. And I said, oh Lord, set thou Satan on the right hand of those who sit in judgment over your anointed. Let their wives become widows and their children fatherless. When they are judged, let them be guilty, O Lord. And I began to invoke Psalm 109. When I finished, the big guy said, this is not fair. We are just doing our job. And I said, I'm also doing my job. That was the end of the case. Up to now, I was never told what I did wrong. They said, go, when we need you, we'll call you. And that was the end of it. Let me tell you something. We began to fast and pray for years. And we began to pray preventive prayers. Say preventive prayers. You see, one of the reasons why we must intercede into the future, a lot of folks wait for things to go wrong before they begin to pray. But you got to pray preventive prayers, because when you pray preventive prayers, you give God something to work with to take preventive measures to make sure that what the enemy has intended will never happen or come to pass. Are you hearing me, somebody? So you don't wait for your children to get on drugs. You don't wait for them to be exposed to wrong friends before you pray. You pray right now. You pray preventive prayers now to cover grounds in the future. You got to pray about who their friends will be, who they hang with. You got to pray about who they marry and the family they marry into. Are you hearing me? Just because somebody is saved and their tongue talking the Holy Ghost filled, don't mean you can marry them. Principalities and powers work behind the scenes. They work through government authority. Every nation, every community, and every city has powers working behind the scenes to determine the policies of that country. And in order for the kingdom and the gospel to have preeminence in our communities, in our cities and in our nations and in our world, we need to deal with the powers that are working behind the scenes. Because anywhere you see Satan working is an indication that God has interest in that place. Whenever you see a particular child in the family always under attack and always acting out of character, acting insane, going out of order, violating the laws and the rules, watch that child carefully. That is the promise keeper of the family. That child, that is the one. Because Satan don't spend his time on just anybody. He takes interest where God has interest. You say, how do you know? When my mother took seed of me, she bled for 4 months. She became anemic, low on iron. The doctor said, Florence, you are not going to make it. So they performed a D&C on her to abort the child. Months after the D&C, the stomach kept growing. And they found out that there was a seed in the womb. And later discovered that we were twins and the one didn't make it. But the hand of God hit me in the womb that the equipment could not touch me. The hand of God hit me that the enemy and the doctors could not touch me. And you know why? Because I had to be here. I had to talk to you. I was destined to talk to you. Are you hearing me, somebody? And it didn't stop there. Every attempt to annihilate me when I was born took place. Every attempt until I lost 3 of my fingers, myself putting my hand in fire under the influence of demonic voices. Suggestion to me, commanded me to light a candle, to place my right palm on the flame, ordered me not to remove my palm, but to allow my hands to be on the fire. Some of the things I'm telling you, I didn't read it from anybody's book. You can't find it out there. Some of the things I preach and I talk about comes out of my personal pain, encounter with God and my personal affliction. It is born out of the womb of affliction. He came out of the furnace of affliction. Paul said, your fight is not with flesh and blood. Your fight is not with those you think is the enemy. He said, your fight is with unseen beings, persons without bodies, working behind the scenes, influencing people, inciting people, provoking people against you, vexing people against you, putting hatred in people against you. And you got to learn how to go past men and women to say, in the name of Jesus, I go behind the scenes and I take authority over whatever is responsible for this situation, this hostility towards me, in the name of Jesus. This hatred I feel coming from this friend of mine, this envy, this jealousy, whatever is behind these lies and stigmatization and this character assassination, I go behind the scene. I take authority. I remove the defenses of the adversary. I take away his power. I remove his weapons in the name of Jesus. I take him off in the name of Jesus. When you start going behind the scenes to pray, it will blow your mind. You will begin to see people who never liked you, were so mean towards you, they will become like a lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. It will blow your mind. Try it and see. Try it and see. There was this guy, he didn't like me at all. He didn't know me, and he was just going around and just saying bad things about me. And when I heard it, I was very angry. And the Lord said, son, don't get angry. Go behind the scenes. And I just went behind the scenes to deal with whatever was responsible of what he was doing. And after doing that, you won't believe this. He himself called me and apologized and told me what he was doing. Let's get deep now. Are you ready to go deep? You sure? Okay, come with me to Daniel, the 9th chapter. Somebody say, higher, Lord. Say, Lord, I want to go higher and higher and higher. Say, higher, Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel, the 9th chapter, reading from the first to the second verse.
In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem.
Now watch this. You got to get this. This is important. Daniel had gone into captivity with the children of Israel for 70 years. Before the captivity, in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 10th verse, Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied and had said that after 70 years, God said, I will visit with you, and then I will bring you out of captivity back to your land where you belong, and I'll bless you. Now, Daniel said, I discovered the prophecy in the books. Now, watch this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Knowledge is the acquisition of information. Are you hearing me, somebody? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But understanding is a result of studying the books. If you don't study the books, you never have understanding. There are two aspects of understanding. One aspect of understanding is the ability to acknowledge the outcome of an event as it relates to a bigger picture. Then the other aspect of understanding is that you study the books. And by studying the books, you begin to understand what you don't understand by reading. Studying is different from reading. Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, understandeth thou what you are reading? Now, Daniel understood by the books. What was the discovery? The discovery of Jeremiah's prophecy about the emancipation of the children of Israel having been in captivity for 70 years. But watch this. At the time the prophecy was discovered, they had already served the 70 years and it has expired and they were still in captivity. There are so many of you seated here. The only reason why you are still being afflicted and you haven't come out of that situation is because you lack advanced knowledge. You lack revelation. You lack knowledge that will help you come out of that situation. And there are three levels of knowledge: sense knowledge, experiential knowledge, and revelational knowledge. And sense knowledge is education, and education is borrowed knowledge. So stop talking to me about the school you attended. It's borrowed knowledge, it's not yours. Are you hearing me, somebody? What is yours is what God gave to you. That is revelation knowledge. Are you hearing me, somebody? You still need it, because without it, you can't function in this world. So, now watch this. Daniel discovered a prophecy. When he discovered the prophecy, he began to fast and to pray. Say, fasting and praying. Say, fasting and praying. Now watch this. The reason why he had to fast and to pray is because it is very dangerous when you discover a secret from God and you don't do anything about it, Satan will come after you. I explained that to you. Now, Satan don't know what is on God's mind, and he doesn't know what is on your mind. So whenever a revelation comes or a prophecy comes, he gets to know through the prophecy. For instance, Joseph received a word of wisdom through his dreams, because the word of wisdom deals with the future. So he received a word of wisdom about his future. Now he didn't keep his mouth shut, and he went talking about it. And when he uncovered and revealed the secret which God gave to him, which was advanced knowledge, Satan overheard it, and Satan entered into his own brethren to kill him. The reason for that move and attempt to annihilate him was to make sure that the revelation, the dream, the prophecy would never come to pass. So you got to be careful whenever prophecy comes over you. It's not the time to clap your hands and go around telling everybody, have you heard what the Lord said? That is the time you have to stop eating and begin to fast and begin to pray like you have never prayed before. Whenever prophecy comes, you have to engage the prophecy. Somebody say, engage the prophecy. So many folks are sitting here. You have great prophecies and promises. They haven't yet come to pass. And the reason is because you haven't followed the protocols of the Spirit. There are protocols. And you got to follow the protocols to bring that word to pass. Because the adversary is not going to sit down quiet and see that prophecy come to pass. You are joking. He will put up a fight. And you got to get ready to fight back. Are you hearing me, somebody? Somebody shout, fight back. Kabuhusha. Agadala magadia. Madalagabaha. Daniel discovered the prophecy. And being a prophet, he knew that if he hadn't fasted and prayed, nothing would happen. So he began to fast. He began to pray. Now watch this. As soon as he began to fast and pray, heaven responded. God said, now I'm ready to go to work. And you know why? All this time, God was waiting for an intercessor. God was waiting for a believer. God was waiting for somebody to discover the prophecy and for somebody to do something about the prophecy. So as soon as Daniel discovered the prophecy and began to fast and began to pray, God said, it is time to go to work. So God said, Gabriel, go down in response to the prayers of Daniel. Now watch this. Watch this. It was illegal for God to have done anything about the prophecy before Daniel prayed and fasted. If you have a promise from God and you have received a prophecy and you are waiting for God to move, you are joking. You have to activate that word through prayer and fasting to engage God to do his side of the prophecy. Watch this. Nothing happened until Daniel discovered the prophecy and until he began to fast and pray. Nothing happened. Watch this. John Wesley of the Methodist movement said the other day, he said, it looks like God can do nothing for humanity until somebody prays. And that is the truth. Before he discovered the prophecy, before he began to pray, nothing absolutely happened. Heaven could not move. Heaven could not do anything. As soon as Daniel fasted and prayed, God said, it is time to move now. We have a license and a legal right to come down and do something about the prophecy. Now watch this. Go to Daniel, the 10th chapter. Look at the 12th verse and the 13th verse.
Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words.
When was his word heard? When?
First day.
Say it again, when?
First day.
Do you know there are so many of you seated here under the sound of my voice that prayed about something? And the first time you prayed about it, God did answer it. But you still haven't seen the manifestation of the answered prayer. You know why? Because you quitted and gave up too early. The angel said, Daniel, I was given access and I was sent in response of your prayers. 21 days ago, the first day you prayed, I was dispatched. But he said, for 21 days, I encountered satanic interruption. Somebody say interruption. Say it again. Say interruption. There are so many of you seated here. You shouldn't be where you are right about now. You should have been far ahead, right about now. But something interrupted the blessing. Something interrupted your miracle. And I came to empower you tonight that after tonight, you will go after the enemy and tell them, give me back my blessing. Give me back my miracle. Give me back my baby. Give me back my breakthrough. Give me back my husband. Give me back my wife. Is anybody hearing me? Hear me. If you have the right tools, you can go after lions. David did. A lion came and a bear and took a lamb from the sheepfold. And David said, something came upon me, and I went after the lion. And when he lifted up himself against me, I caught it by the beard and slew it and took the lamb out of his hand. Whatever the devil has taken from you, I came to tell you that you are going to be empowered to go after the enemy and to take back what he has taken from you. Don't look at me with that kind of look. I'm trying to help you. Lift up your hands and say, yes. Somebody say, give me back my miracle. Say, give me back my baby. In the name of Jesus. Give me back. Somebody say, I take back. Watch this. The angel said, now all this time, watch this. Daniel had no idea of what was going on. He was just faithful in prayer. He just remained consistent in prayer. That was all. He persisted in prayer. He didn't give up. Napoleon Bonaparte said the other day, no one is whipped until they quit in their own mind because of the lack of persistence. Are you hearing me, somebody? He persisted in prayer, and the angel came as a result of Daniel's prayer. Now watch this, hear me. Even though we were dealing with a celestial being, the angel wouldn't have made it but for Daniel's fastings and prayer. Now what am I saying here? Do you know that you have an angel? Do you know that every one of you here have an angel? And let me tell you this, your angel cannot come through with your miracle from the presence of God without your help. Your angel needs your help. And the way you help and empower your angel is through fasting and prayer. Because if Daniel had given up praying on the 20th day, the angel wouldn't have come through. The angel only made it because of the fasting and the prayers of Daniel. Now watch this. Look at the 9th chapter and the first verse. What is the name of the king there?
Darius.
What is his name?
Darius.
Now, watch this. The 10th chapter, first verse. What is the name of the king there?
Cyrus.
The 9th chapter, first verse. What is his name?
Darius.
The 10th chapter, first verse. What is his name?
Cyrus.
Watch this. At the time Daniel discovered the prophecy, there was a king whose name was what? Darius. Darius' assignment, if you look at it politically carefully, he was placed there by the enemy to make sure that the prophecy of Jeremiah will not come to pass. And his assignment was to keep God's people in captivity. Watch this. When Daniel began to pray, for the first time in the history of the kingdom of Persia, which stretched from Ethiopia to India, they had 170 provinces. Now watch this. The Jews were spread in all these 170 provinces. Now watch this. When Daniel began to pray, a secret was revealed. And this was the secret. The angel said, I was sent from the first day you prayed. But what happened? Look at it now.
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days.
Now watch this. The what?
The prince.
The what?
Prince.
The prince of what?
The kingdom of Persia.
Now watch this. Everybody say, double kingdom. Say double ruler. Watch this. What was the name of the natural king?
Darius.
What was the name of the unseen ruler?
Prince of Persia.
The Prince of Persia. Are you getting it now? So in the natural, there was what? A natural ruler whose name was what? Darius. But behind the scenes, there was a principality by the name of what? The Prince of Persia, who incited, influenced, manipulated, exploited, and governed the kingdom through the senses of the natural king. Come on, is somebody getting this? Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say? You got it? Hear me. Behind Darius was an unseen ruler who influenced him and worked him to protect Satan's interest in the kingdom of Persia. Satan had interest in that kingdom because God's people were in that kingdom. Watch this. You got to pray because Satan has interest in this city. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? And the church got to rise up and lift up your hands and make legislation over this city and say no more. Somebody say no more. Somebody say no more. Somebody got to begin to pray preventive prayers that whenever they plot, whenever they gather, God scatter them. Whenever they plot, let it be exposed in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing me, somebody? Lift up prayer shields over this city. Lift up prayer shields over the heavens. Lift up prayer shields over the atmospheric heaven. Lift up prayer shields over the economy. Tell the devil, no more and never again and not this time around. When we prayed for Ghana, things began to change economically. Apart from South Africa, Ghana is one of the most stable countries in Africa. And I'll tell you why. It's because of my prayers. Are you hearing me? It's because of my prayers. I don't care what any preacher says. Are you hearing me? They can say whatever they want to say, but nobody can question my prayers. Unrest comes all over the sub-region, and Ghana is intact. Because prayer can be a shield and a buffer against the enemy. Now watch this. Until Daniel fasted and prayed, nobody ever had an idea that there was another ruler who was an unseen ruler in charge and governing through the natural ruler. It was the fasting and prayers of Daniel that brought the angel. And when the angel was coming through in the realms of the spirit, he was interrupted. And the prince of Persia said, "What do you think you are doing? And where are you going?" And the angel said, "I have come in response to the prayers of a young prophet by the name of Daniel." And the prince of Persia said, "You do not have rights. You need to take care of me first before you can get to Daniel." And so there was a contention and there was a conflict. There was war in the heavens. Somebody say war in the heavens. Now, Daniel continued to pray. And as a result of Daniel's prayers, God the Father said, "Gabriel is gone for 21 days. He's not here. Why has he kept that long?" And Gabriel is the minister of information. Michael is the minister of defense. Anytime God decides to do anything, watch the scriptures. It is Gabriel that comes to announce it. Anytime there is war, it's Michael. He's the minister of defense. And so God said, "Where is Gabriel? He hasn't returned from the first day." So Michael was asked to go down and find out what was going on. And Michael came on the scene, and the prince of Persia had engaged Gabriel for 21 days. And Michael said, Gabriel, you go down. Leave them to me. I'll take care of them. And all Michael did was to remind them, you remember me? You remember what I did to you in heaven the other day? Hallelujah. Sometimes there are certain battles you don't fight. You just remind the adversary of past victories. Just remind him of past victories. That was what David did the other day. He said, the other day, the Lord delivered the bear and the lion into my hands, and I slew them. And the God that delivered the lion and the bear into my hands shall deliver into my hands this uncircumcised Philistine. Are you hearing me, somebody? Every now and then, when you face new challenges, remember past victories. Say yes. I said, when you face new devils, remember past victory. Say yes. Watch this. The angel came and revealed a secret and said, Daniel, let me tell you a secret. Your problem is not with Darius the king. There is another ruler up there. And he is the guy in charge of this kingdom, not Darius. Darius just does what he's told. There's a big man up there. He's a principality. And he has kept me for 21 days. And if you had given up praying, I wouldn't have been here. And until Daniel fasted and prayed, nobody ever knew that secret. God said in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, he said, call upon me and I will answer. Then I will reveal and show you mind-blowing things. Watch this. As soon as Daniel began to fast and pray, something happened. Power shifted. Say, power shift. Power shift. Say it again. Say, power shift. Power shift. Darius was removed, and Cyrus took the place of Darius. Now watch this. In Isaiah 44 and the 28th verse, watch this. 200 years before Cyrus was born, it was prophesied 200 years before the mother took seed of Cyrus that Cyrus will become a shepherd of the Jews, and that he will be the instrument and the king and the vessel in the hands of Elohim to proclaim the emancipation and the return of the children of God. 200 years before he was born, Isaiah prophesied it and specifically called and mentioned his name and said his name shall be called Cyrus. And it is also biblically believed, when you study scriptures carefully, that Cyrus was the son of Queen Esther. Now watch this. When Darius began to pray over the prophecy of Jeremiah, he began to touch everything. And there was divine displacement and replacement. And somebody had to leave the scene for someone else to come. There are certain people on the scene. It's time for them to leave. I said it's time for them to leave. It's time for them to be replaced. It's time for them to be removed. Because as long as they are on the scene, there are some folks who will never fulfill their prophecy. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Are you hearing me, somebody? When you begin to engage your prophecy, anyone assigned by the adversary to hinder the prophecy and to frustrate the will of God for your life, when you begin to fast and you begin to pray like you ought to fast and pray, you will begin to activate the powers of the heavens, and there will be stirrings and shiftings and warfare going on in the heavens, and somebody is going to lose his job, somebody is going to be discredited, somebody is going to be removed, somebody is going to be moved from his office. Somebody is going to lose his influence because somebody got to go Oh, you didn't hear me. Listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, in the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. There are some of you, you will never see the Lord. You will never see your promised land until King Uzziah dies. And I came to declare the death and the burial of King Uzziah. You didn't hear me. I came to hold a funeral service. Are you hearing me? For the burial of King Uzziah. Let King Uzziah die so that you may see the Lord. Lift up your hand, somebody. Shout yes! Shout yes! Hey! Hey! Hey, 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 Kadabako Shabahaya. Kadamahagada. Gadalama Iparamagataya. Paranda Gadalibiata. Ikaparamagate. Lalei. Kadalama Gadaliasa. Ikalama Gadasu Falanda. Ipei Katalama. Ikidiliamagadaha. Hear me. Cyrus coming on the throne to fulfill his prophetic destiny was a result of the 21 days fasting and prayers of Daniel. If Daniel had not fasted after discovering the prophecy for those 21 days to activate the prophecy, to engage heaven, Cyrus would have never come on the throne. And Darius would have remained on the throne. There are people sitting on the throne who shouldn't be sitting on the throne because the church is not praying. Somebody has taken something from you because you haven't prayed like you ought to pray. Are you hearing me, somebody? Somebody is sitting on your miracle. Somebody is occupying an office that belongs to you because you haven't interceded like you ought to intercede. But I dare you to rise up in the spirit, to put on the whole armor of God and to tell the devil, give me back, give me back, give me back my office, give me back my miracle. Take your hands up. That miracle is mine. Ah, somebody say it's mine. Somebody say Jesus. Just hear me. I didn't come to preach to make you happy. I came to give you weapons to fight. You see, prayer is a disinfectant. Prayer is contagious. And what I'm doing is prayer conditioning you to catch the prayer virus. So you will become a prayer addict. Are you hearing me, somebody? You can't help yourself but to pray. And if I can get everyone under the sound of my voice, pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray in the night, pray in the midnight, I'm telling you, we will shoot some powers in the heavens. Take the enemy down. Watch this. The prayers of Daniel orchestrated changes on the political scene, on the economic scene, on the social scene, and change the course of history. One man changed the course of history on his knees behind the scenes, dealing with the powers behind the scenes. Look at the 20th verse of the 10th chapter of Daniel.
Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come.
Watch this. How many of you did history in school? Do you remember that according to history, when the Persian Empire fell, it was the Grecian Empire that took over? You remember? Led by Alexander the Great. Now, history didn't tell you this, but the change of the falling of the kingdom of Persia and the rising of the kingdom of Greece was a result of Daniel's 21 days of fasting and prayer. Now, watch this. The angel said, the prince of Persia will be removed. When he is gone, there will be a vacuum. The kingdom of Persia will go down because the prince is removed. And he said, when the kingdom of Persia goes down, another kingdom will rise. But behind that kingdom, there will be a principality, and his name shall be called the Prince of Greece. Now, the Grecian Empire was led by Alexander the Great. And it was said by history that Alexander the Great conquered the entire world in 13 years. And he never lost any battle. And it was said by history that the guy was so strong and fierce in battle that he fought and conquered every king and every nation. And one day he shut down and he cried and he said, is there no king? And is there no kingdom to fight me? And his men said to him, sir, you have conquered every king and kingdom and there is nobody to fight. And history said he wept and wept and wept because there was nobody to fight him. But the power of Alexander the Great was derived from a principality by the name of the Prince of Greece. So any nation that fought Alexander the Great, the only way you could have conquered Alexander the Great was to go behind the scenes to deal with what empowered him and what influenced and what anointed him, because there are satanic anointings, there are satanic mantles, and there are satanic unctions. Kabo Shadaha. Amalagadila Mahagada. Paragadili Mikabosha. Are you hearing me, somebody? Don't just deal with people in the natural. Find out what empowers them. Find out the source of their power and where they're coming from and what is behind it. So many of the challenges we are dealing with in the natural, there is something behind responsible for some of those situations that don't make sense. Now, come with me to Ezekiel 28 from the first verse.
From the first verse to the 11th verse. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying,
watch this.
Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyros.
The prince of what?
Tyros.
Keep that in mind. Underline the word prince of Tyros.
Thus saith the Lord God. Because thine heart is lifted up. And thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man.
Underline the word, yet thou art a man. So here, we are not dealing with an unseen being. We are not dealing with a prince. We are dealing with a natural man. Keep that in mind. Go ahead.
And not God. Though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords.
This is dealing with a man that is so blessed and so wealthy and think that he deserves it, and he's so proud and arrogant and think he knows it all and have all the answers. And God said, I will deal with you.
And they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slay thee, I am God?
No.
But thou shalt be a man, and no God, in the hand of him that slay thee. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God.
Okay, watch this. Go ahead.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
watch this.
Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros.
You see? You see the connection there? You see what's going on here?
Yes.
We have what? Say the prince.
The prince.
And say the king.
The king.
Say double kingdom.
Double kingdom.
Say double ruler.
Double ruler.
Now watch this. The prince was a man. The king is the principality governing and ruling the prince. Watch this. Look at it.
Son of man.
Watch this.
Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros.
The king of Tyros.
And say unto him,
Thus
saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the psalm, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, and beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth.
Thou art the anointed what? Cherub that covereth. Watch this. That is Satan.
I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God.
Okay, now that is not man. This is Satan. Go ahead.
Thou walkest up and down in the midst of the stones of fire.
You see, stones of fire. That was in man. That is Satan he's referring to here. Go ahead.
Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee.
You see, so that is Satan. Now watch this. Stop there. Watch this. Say the prince, of Tyros.
Of Tyros.
And the king of Tyros.
And the king of Tyros.
So you see, double kingdom, double ruler. The prince was the man. The king was Satan. And Satan working through the man. Who was the prince? So to deal with the prince, whatever he did against you, in order to overcome him, you have to go past him to deal with the power that empowers him to hurt you. And if you don't deal with the source of his power and his wisdom, if you don't deal with what is working through him, it doesn't matter how much you talk and how much you try to make peace, there will never be peace. A lot of the challenges of single sisters who are not married and are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and growing old and Mr. Right never comes. Girl, it's a warfare thing. You got to stop being cute and stop eating and get into some serious warfare. Get some other sisters who are also desperate to get married and you all come together and get into some serious prayer and fasting and warfare and go behind the scenes and lose your man. Some of you, your man is tied up and you have to go behind the scenes to free him up. Are you hearing me? Watch this. Esther would have never come on the throne, but Esther was trained to fast and pray by Mordecai. And it was the fastings and prayers of Esther, his uncle Mordecai, that orchestrated the whole situation to cause the queen to misbehave, for her to lose her place. So to whom it belongs to may take that position. Now hear me. Watch this carefully. Marriage is not about getting married. You got to marry for purpose. Esther wasn't just a queen because she was pretty. It wasn't about marriage or sex. It was about a divine agenda. And when she came on the throne, listen, if it was Vashti that was on the throne, the entire Jewish race would have been annihilated. So God needed Esther on the throne because God knew that he had made an investment into Esther. And when the time comes when he needs that investment to pay off, Esther will yield and take a risk for the God of Israel to save the people of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? Paul said the other day, I would have come unto you once and again, but Satan hindered me. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2 and the 18 verse. Look at this. Listen to what Paul said.
Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us.
Sir, this is Paul speaking. Paul said, I prepared to come to you. And he said, I tried once and I was hindered. And the second time, and I was resisted and I gave up. Somebody got to put up a fight. And you know what? Stop dealing with people in the natural. Just leave them. I want us to go behind the scenes. And whatever it is that I've held you hostage, whatever it is that I've hindered you, go behind the scenes and deal with what is responsible for what is happening in the natural.